السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. الحمد للہ وکفا والصلاۃ والسلام علی سید المصطفیٰ صلی اللہ علیہ وعلی آلہ واصحابہ وبارک وسلم تسلیما کثیرا کثیرا. قال اللہ تبارک وتعالی، اعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم، بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. فمن يرد الله ان يهديه يشرح صدره للاسلام. علماء کرام، ریسپیکٹڈ برادرز، سسٹرز، لسننگ اوور ریسیورز، اللہ تبارک و تعالیٰ سیز فمن يرد الله ان يهديه يشرح صدره للاسلام. In this short time before we discuss this ayat of the Quran Sharif, one or two mas'alas, as we discussed last week, that if there is a kind of a partnership or whatever it is between two friends, brothers or strangers, then reduce it to writing so that we don't have any kind of a problem when it comes to distribution of profits or distribution of the estate. We know that these are things that are causing a lot of family friction, disunity and suffering. So we discussed at length last week the issue of sons being in partnership or working for the father or getting commission on sales that they are doing for the father. So the misunderstanding with regards to that Hadith Sharif where it is mentioned that anta wa maluka li abi. So some people believe that now there is no need to even ask the son with regards to his wealth. They consider everything to belong to the father. So we discussed that and clarified some of the issues. Another question which is very, very common in this month of Ramadan is with regards to zakat. What's the number? ND563150. 563150. Is that people are very much confused with regards to when does that zakat become payable on the wealth that the person has. The misunderstanding seems to be this, that if a person receives, for example, 10,000 today, then he gets another 20,000 during the course of the month, then he gets another 5,000-6,000, then there's some reduction, he makes some payments, it goes up and down and fluctuates. So now the misunderstanding is this, that for each amount you have to now keep some kind of a hisab, some kind of a record, and you will pay after 1 year the zakat on that amount. Now that seems to be a very common misunderstanding. Whereas what it really means is this, that the day the person has become sahib in hisab, he's got 3 ounces of gold or 21 ounces of silver or its equivalent in cash or merchandise for sale. Now all those details that go with it, if he's got that value, 3 ounces of gold or 21 ounces of silver, now we're talking about cash. Animals, there's different zakat. For the farms and other things, there's different zakat. But here we're talking generally about cash, gold, silver. So the day he becomes sahib in hisab, now he's got that amount, whatever is the value or whatever is the equivalent of 21 ounces of silver or 3 ounces of gold. So from that day, he has become sahib e nisab. Now that amount, it will fluctuate, it will go higher, higher, less, whatever happens. But if that nisab remains with him till the end of the year, 1 year from then everything that happened in between is now of no consequence. In between, whatever fluctuations took place, it is immaterial. If he had that nisab and then at the end of the year now, it was doubled up, multiplied, went up 10 times, went up 100,000 times, then he will pay zakat on that day, whatever he has got. So if his zakat, for example, fell due on the 1st of Ramadan and he received another 100,000 or 50,000 or whatever amount or some gold coins just 1 day before that, so that too will have to be added. Of course, he will deduct his liabilities and debts. But that amount will also be included now in the zakat amount. That means he will have to add that on when he's calculating his zakat. He's not going to say that 1 year still has to pass on this amount which came yesterday. Whatever came in before his zakat year ended, all that will be included. So this is one misunderstanding. And since we are doing mostly now what we term as suluk, or what we term as reformation, what we term as tazkiyah of the nafs. So my shaykh mentions a very beautiful thing. He says, and why is that amount now included? He says, the amount is included because Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has accepted, Allah ta'ala has accepted the other amounts that the person had for zakat. So the maqbooliyat of that zakat, now this amount that came in, Allah Ta'ala accepts it also. And from there he proves what we term as good company. Sohbat of the Salihin. That is, a person joins good company, then he becomes amongst them. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, what did he mention? Didn't he say that Al-mar'u ala deene khalilihi falyanzur ahadukum man yukhalil? The person is on the deen. Khalil, Allah Ta'ala, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam uses the word khalil. Very, very intimate, close friend. So this person who is befriending someone, so he will come on that faith, on that religion, on that way of life, on that style of his friend. If he's got very close friendship, then that is what he will become. I mentioned this many times, that all those cases that we get of drugs and other such kind of problems, most of the time it is friends. They'll say, my friend, my friend. So I always tell them, who is the friend? The friend is one who is concerned about your welfare, is concerned about your health, is concerned about your wealth, is concerned about your respect, is concerned about your dunya, is concerned about your qabr, is concerned about your akhirat. And that is a true Muslim friend. But that one who is giving you drugs, or is taking you to womanize, or is taking you to prostitute quarters or escort agencies, or all the haram on the internet sites or television screens, he says, why should I go alone to the discos and theatres and cinemas? You also accompany me. So that person is like the one who is saying, hum to dube hai sanam, tumhe bhi leke dubenge. Say, why should I drown myself? We'll pull you also. He says, why must I drown myself? We'll pull you also. We both will drown together. So that is what he's trying, he's saying by his actions, that I've already drowned in the sins of mine and it is going to take me to hellfire. So why should I be alone in hellfire? Why should you not also be with me there? They say there was one baniya in those days. There was some battle that was raging, and so this person, his leg was cut, but not bleeding so much that he was going to die. He knew this could still live till next day or a few days, Allah knows till when. But now he was alone there in that battlefield. Others had all gone. So one person was passing by. The baniya that was passing by. They have great love for wealth. So this person that was bleeding, this person that had his leg cut, so he said, come here, come here. I got a whole bag of money here tied on my side. And I may die any time. So come and take it away. At least you can use it. So this person went close to get that bag of money from him, which he said he's got. And there's coins and everything in there. When he went there with his hand, he took the sword and chopped his leg off too. He said, now what did you do? He said, how was I going to spend the night alone here? So at least we'll have company now. So he said, for company, did you ever hear of anybody taking gold coins and going to battlefields? So like that, this person is also saying, hum to dube hai sanam tujhe bhi leke dubenge. So that's not a true friend. The true friend is the one who will be considerate about you. So now this money that came in, so Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala accepted that money for zakat purposes. Because we know that if it had been haram money, if it had been haram, then there was no acceptance of that money. It is only if it is halal, then Allah Ta'ala accepts it. And Allah Ta'ala multiplies it Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives barakat in the balance, and that zakat which has been given becomes a means of protection for that wealth which the person has still got. That is Allah ta'ala's system. If the person's earnings are totally halal and he is giving proper zakat, then generally the rest of the wealth is protected. Most of the losses that occur, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned it, most of the losses that occur, whether it is on sea or on land, it is because of the non-payment of the zakat on that wealth. Now our condition is this, that it is mainly a haphazard kind of calculation. Because generally we keep two books, one for the receiver of revenue and one for ourselves. So people don't really work out exactly what zakat is due. They say people came to the shop with some collection books, I wrote zakat. He may have given some zakat, but he does not know exactly what was due, what was to be paid. And many a times if you have to look at the value of the merchandise that is on the shelves, the value of the merchandise, then when we look at it with our eyes, we don't see the value. But when the person really measures, or when the person really counts, or the person really weighs, then he comes to know what is the value. Sometimes you look at some items, outwardly they don't look of great value. There were those days when people used to go around as agents on commission business, selling shoes for someone, or selling shirts, or selling garments. So they had to fill up pages and pages. Then they make up some kind of a commission of a few thousand rand. But now with the value of the items having gone so high, then it's one or two pages and the person can make up the kind of commission that in those days you had to fill up pages and pages. Now people say that you've got a big shop and small items, how can we really work out each and every item? Of course there are different methods that the jurists have shown us to make life easy and simple. So one of the methods that they have shown in such a place where there's small nails and pins and needles and everything like that, where the person is going to keep measuring every ribbon and tape and all that. So there they made it simple and easy. They said you take a value or place a value, willing buyer and seller. That means if a person has to come into your shop now and say that I offer you so much, walk in, walk out, I take over everything, and this is the value in my sight, and you will be willing to sell it to him at that price. Finish, simple and easy. Nobody can find excuses. Shariat is easy. Now the person pays on that value. How simple and easy it may be. But those places where you can count and all that is good for the person himself also, he gets to know. And there are many women folk who have got jewelry, who have got cash, or they've got jewelry that was given by the husband when they got married, they got jewelry. Now they will still go by the value of the jewelry at that time, where it's supposed to be the value now, at present. And many people haven't clarified who does it really belong to. Now neither does the wife pay zakat, nor does the husband pay zakat. So there are lots of issues. Now these things are not to be learnt in 45 minutes or 40 minutes. You must pick up the kitabs on zakat, or whatever is relevant to us, then find out from the ulama, find out from the muftis. When we are not certain about how much to pay to the receiver of revenue, then we run quickly to the bookkeepers and accountants and auditors, and we pay them huge fees. And here the muftis and maulvis will show it to you free of charge also. They're not going to charge you too for the masala. So there we pay the fees because we don't want to be on the wrong side of the law, because we know what the consequences are. All those who say mustn't talk about Jahannam, mustn't talk about hellfire. Nobody likes to talk about hellfire. But Allah Ta'ala's government would have been incomplete if there was no hellfire. If you have a country in which they've got everything, the country has got everything, palaces and gold and silver and everything, but they don't have a prison. So where are you going to put the criminals in? If there is no punishment for the criminals, that government, we will say, is lacking on something. Or a person builds a very, very beautiful house, but he has no toilet in there. What would we think of that house? They say it's incomplete. Now nobody likes to talk about the toilet. Of course nowadays a lot of people talk about the toilets with the golden taps and the fittings and the furnishings inside there, which sometimes they make. So they talk about that Walima time also. So we're not talking about those people. They spoil the appetite of the people on the Walima table, talking about the gold and silver taps in the toilets. So hellfire definitely is not something that everybody likes to talk about. So therefore we say talk about Jannat. But if there was no hellfire, then we would have said Allah Ta'ala's government is incomplete. Allah Ta'ala's system is perfect. But when it comes to all these other fines that the receiver of revenue imposes and the government imposes on many, many other things, traffic fine, this, no license, then fine, you drove fast, then fine, you don't do this, then fine, otherwise you go to jail. Now that time people don't say there's so much of regulation that if you don't do this, don't do that, and you're going to go to prison. And some of them will be told that you will remain in there for life. So at that time, we don't make any kind of objection. We say that it is the government of the time. So what about Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's government? Allah Ta'ala's authority. Allah Ta'ala, who is our creator, does He not have the right to tell us that you should be doing this, doing that, doing that? And then look at the difference in the two governments. Take fasting itself. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, Kutiba alaykum as-siyam. كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. How many times you heard in Ramadan this ayah? Now that is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's love and mercy and kindness, that, oh my servants, don't think that this is something impossible and it's going to be very difficult for you, because I have made fasting compulsory on those people before you also. They were also human beings. They were not farishtas. And they also lived in the same world. There may be differences with regards to the laws and regulations, but some kind of fasting was made compulsory for them too. And they managed, whether it was summer, whether it was winter, whether it was raining, or whether it was snowing, whatever was the condition in that country at that time, they were able to fast. So you should not get scared and frightened that how am I going to fast? Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will make it easy for you. He is the one who is prescribing it, so He'll make it easy. Now that is Allah Ta'ala's system. That is making it easy for us and presenting it us. The government of the world will say, this is it. You drive 120 on this road, and if you exceed the limit, then so much fine, finish. Now they don't write in there. A lot of people before you also drove on the same road, and they also managed to drive at 120, so therefore you should not exceed the limit. All those details they don't put inside there to make it easy for us. They stipulate this is the law and finish. And if you don't, then this is the fine, or you go to jail. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, that is the difference. That on the one hand, He tries to make the laws easy for us. In whichever way you look at it, once again we think of those beautiful three words, that the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, all his sunnats, if you take the whole teachings of the Quran and Sunnah, it is ajmal, ashal, akmal. Ashal, ajmal, akmal. Very, very simple and easy and practical. The other day somebody wrote from Pakistan. Somebody died in the family in the flood waters. Now they are more concerned about how do we now do the 40th day? How do we do the third day? How do we do the 7th day? Now in some families they've got those customary practices. That on the 3rd day, 7th day, 40th day, you must get together, read khatam, do this, do that. But they say now that it's difficult. So definitely it's going to be difficult, because that which Sharia did not make compulsory, if we are going to make compulsory, will make life difficult. Now in some families they lost 20 people, some lost 50 people. Millions of people are homeless. Many a times when there is earthquake, tsunamis, all these type of disasters, how many people go away in that? Sometimes whole families are wiped out. Now somebody's three children, one went on this day, one went next day, one was in coma, went on the 3rd day. The person's wife went on the 4th day, and the person's father went on the 10th day. Now are you going to keep a list of each one's days of death and then say now 40 days from here, 3 days from here, 7 days from here, that person, it will be impossible for him to even live. And how will the poor person then keep on feeding and feeding and feeding? Because that's what we associate it with, is mainly feeding. So Islam made things simple. That read Quran Sharif, say, Ya Allah, send the sawab of this to my father. Send the sawab of this to my mother. Send the sawab of this to my family members that passed away. Give some charity and say, Ya Allah, send the sawab. Read 3 times, Qul Huwa Allah, if you don't have anything, and say, Ya Allah, send the sawab of this. The person will get the sawab of having made khatam of Quran Sharif 1 time. It doesn't mean you mustn't read Quran Sharif, but at least the sawab you'll get. Read Yasin Sharif and say, Ya Allah, send the sawab of this. The person is getting the sawab of 10 Quran Sharif khatam. How simple and easy. No need to keep record of all the dates of the different people. How are we going to keep records? So we are making it difficult for ourselves. Whereas if you have to look at Islam, from every angle that you look at it, there's nothing but beauty in it. Allah Ta'ala loves His creation. And then the person may be making some kind of mistake in his ibadat, in his zikr, in his tilawat. He may not be obedient in the true sense of the word. Now this person is losing hope. Now for him also Allah Ta'ala is making it easy. Oh my banda, oh my servant, don't lose hope. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِن رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Look at Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's love for His creation. It's not that Allah Ta'ala wants to send to the fire of Jahannam. So it is ashal, everything is easy. And at the same time there is beauty. Look at in Islam, in everything there is beauty. Whether it is in the death of a person, the kusal, the kafan, and then the respect that you are giving even to the dead person. The other times you were traveling in cars and buses and planes and everything else. Now we are ordered, of course, now when the Qabristan is far, then we take by hearse and we take by vans. But in reality, person can make it to the Qabristan. It's not far away. So then we are told, carry janaza on your shoulders. Carry the janaza on your shoulder. As a poet I mentioned the other night. He says, Oh Allah, the burden of my sins is so much, the weight of my sins is so much, that I can't even walk to the graveyard myself. Therefore I'm coming on the shoulders of these servants of yours. They are conveying me to my grave. The weight of my sins is so much. And my Allah, I am so ashamed of the sins that I have committed in my life that I can't even leave my face open. Therefore, with my kafan, I have covered my face, hiding my shame from you, my Allah. I am feeling ashamed like how the person that is arrested and that person covers his face with his jacket, with his jersey, with his hanky, with something on his hand, and he's ashamed. People must not see him. So he says, Oh Allah, the sins that I have committed in my life, I am so ashamed of those sins that now that I am coming to you on the shoulders of these people, but I can't even expose my face to them. Therefore, I have covered it with this kafan of mine. So in everything, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has kept some lesson, some beauty. So the person must not even lose hope. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala keeps the doors of Tawbah open for you. This month of Ramadan, it is for that. Return to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. How long are we going to remain negligent and indifferent? How long are we going to remain disobedient? Shukriya qabr tak pahunchane walo, shukriya. Ab is manzil se akele hi chale jayenge hum. Thank you very much, those who have conveyed me to the grave. From here onwards, I will go myself alone. I know my father won't accompany me, my mother won't accompany me, my sisters and brothers won't accompany me. My friends won't accompany me. My clients and customers won't accompany me. Nobody will come into the grave. Shukriya qabr tak pahunchane walo, shukriya. Ab is manzil se akele hi chale jayenge hum. So we are talking about the companionship. Yes, that's, we came back on track. Allah Ta'ala brought us on track again. And I was talking about that rakam or that amount that just came in a few days before the zakat was due. So that is also included. So we must get happy and pleased and not become sad and disappointed. Oh Allah, now this money which came in yesterday also must pay zakat on it. Because Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, He not only protects that wealth, as I said, first of all Allah Ta'ala makes it easy, not like the governments. And then Allah Ta'ala rewards on it. We haven't heard of rewards, that the person paid taxes last year, so now the government is going to give him 10 times what he paid last year. Have we heard of anyone receiving as a reward from the government for paying taxes all these years? So now you will get every year rewards for paying your taxes. They'll double it, multiply it 10 times, 100 times, 700 times and give it back. Now Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, He accepts it, then He multiplies it. He returns it. He gives barakat in that which the person still has. And in the light of that Hadith Sharif, there's a protection. It is like a security for the other wealth. Then if there's still a loss after that, after the person has paid proper zakat, then as I've always said, that if the person checks and he has paid zakat well and properly, then it is again a rahmat and mercy of Allah Ta'ala. That he could have been suffering a major loss, so a little bit is taken away and is protected from some major loss. Or the person, some big bala and musibat and difficulty and hardship was going to befall him, but because of that zakat that he paid, now Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala protects him, saves him from that. Many, many other things. Look at the number of rewards that are mentioned in the books of Fazail of Zakat. How many virtues are there? So this person must not feel disappointed that now this amount is included in this, so I have to pay zakat on it. The reason why some people feel difficult is they are looking at that which is going, and what is going is only 2.5%. And he's going to bring back also so much. And this person still has 97.5% with him. Lots of people say that Islam is not a fair religion, that zakat is only for the Muslims, only for the believers. Indeed, Islam says zakat is only for the believers and Muslims. They have a right because they are believing in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. They have a right because they are believing in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, so Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives them through that zakat the believers benefit. However, where does Allah Ta'ala say that if non-Muslims are suffering, if there is a widow next door and she's a non-Muslim lady and she's poor and she's struggling, so now we mustn't assist her and help her because she's non-Muslim? Does it say that? We must help them whether they are Muslims or non-Muslims. 97.5% the person still got. Some years back when I used to go around inspection of madrasas, at that time we didn't have so many ulama here. So I was at one madrasa and one person came. And he says that this madrasa which you have come to inspect, they came to me for some donation. And they want to pay salaries of the teachers. So with the donation of zakat, can they pay salaries of teachers because I want to give them some zakat? So I said, well, directly like that, of course, they can't pay. But if those pupils who are poor and needy in that madrasa or this, they have a fee to pay in, and their parents now give the consent that you can receive an X amount, which is equivalent to that fees as zakat in payment of the fees of my child, then it's permissible. But directly you cannot. This is, well, you see, that's the problem, that we only have zakat money to give. And thereafter, after a little while, he said, I've got something for you, just hold on. So I waited. So he went to his car, he opened the boot, and he brought one big wedding card. Big wedding card. Costing so much of money. And more than 500-600 people were invited for that wedding. So I looked at the card, I said, MashaAllah, Allah Ta'ala bless the couple with marriage of bliss and happiness. But this is the money that you should be giving for the payment of those salaries, not zakat money. The money that you spent on these cards, which is absolute waste of money, 500-600 cards that were distributed, or 1,000 even that were distributed. And at that time, it was so costly. So I said, this is that money which we are spending in all these type of unnecessary expenditure that we are incurring. We are spending lavish and wastage, total wastage. So this is that money that you should be taking and giving to these madrasas that come to you for donation, for payment of salaries to teachers. That is what you should be giving. And then I explained to him, I said, if you have to give me a note, if that card was 50 rands, I said, if you give me a 50 rand note, and nowadays some of the cards are 200 rands, I said, if I have to look at that note in front of you, and then tear it and throw it in the bin, what would you think of me? If you give me a 50 rand note or a 100 rand note, the cost of that card, and I look at that note, I tear it and throw it in the bin, in front of you. Will you ever give me another note again? And what would people think also? That person who does that will say, stupid, is mad, send him to asylum. What is the difference? What is the difference? I say, if you ask me over the years, I don't know how many cards I must have received. Those days people used to send for every wedding, there used to be cards. Now, of course, lots of things have changed. There's more education, and now we have our emails and we have other ways. But at that time, I said, almost every week we get wedding cards. But if you have to ask me, come to my house, I don't have one displayed anywhere. Not one is displayed anywhere. So where did they go? Either it's shredded, burned, buried, if there was Allah's name on it. But nobody keeps it. Maybe somebody for sentimental reason keeps it. But go to the houses and see if you have a whole wall full of wedding invitations. No matter how pretty those cards. So why waste? That is that money that should be given. Pay your zakat with it. That money that you're spending there, if you haven't paid proper zakat, then take that money and pay zakat. Give sadqa, give lillah, give some charities. Or give to those people who are in your family as hadiyas, gifts, whatever it may be. But don't waste it like this. So we should take lessons from this. So this was one mas'ala that I thought we will just discuss very briefly, but it went at length and there must be some khair in it, whatever we discuss. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has made his deen very, very simple. The Quran ayat inshallah some other time. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has made the deen very, very simple, very practical. But just to give you the translation or just the meaning, gist of it. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentions, مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ فَمَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَهْدِيَهُ يَشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ. The person whom Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala intends giving hidayat, because here an yahdiyahu an is masdariya, whom Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala decides hidayat for that person. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala opens up his chest for Islam. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala says, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam immediately came to the masjid. From the mimbar he announced, this is the ayat that was revealed upon me. So the Sahaba Kiram radiyallahu anhum ajma'in also, immediately they asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is the meaning of this? Shara of the sadr, expansion of the chest, or the heart, what does it mean? He said, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala puts a noor inside you. Allah ta'ala puts noor, that person with hidayat now is muqaddar. But whom does Allah Ta'ala give hidayat to? He gives to the person who is desirous of it. The person who is not desirous, he doesn't want hidayat. Then Allah Ta'ala himself mentions, أَنُلْزِمُكُمُوهَا وَأَنْتُمْ لَهَا كَارِهُونَ. In any case, there's a discussion on it, what does it mean and what is the signs and alamat and all this. You have to go into all that. It will take a long time. I make dua, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, give us the tawfiq to make amal. In any case, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that noor. So the sahaba asked, what is the sign that the noor has come into the heart? So he said, tajafi an daril ghurur. Person runs away, distances himself from darul ghurur, world of deception. Wal inabatu ila daril khulud. And the person turns, his whole awareness is there that there is an akhirat. He's conscious of the fact he has got to go to the hereafter. He has to answer Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for his doing an action. And wal isti'adu lil maut qabla nuzulihi. And the person prepares himself, he builds up that isti'ad before death comes. That's what we've been discussing over the past few nights after the Tarawih prayers. Isti'ad of maut. Few minutes of zikrullah and dua. Allah Allah kaisa pyara naam hai, aashiqon ka meena aur jaam hai. Allah Allah kaisa pyara naam hai, aashiqon ka meena aur jaam hai. Allah Allah kaisa pyara naam hai, आशिकों का मीना और जाम है. अल्लाह जल्ल जलालुहु यार रहे यार अब तू मेरा और मैं तेरा यार रहूं. मुझको फकत तुझसे हो मोहब्बत, खल्क से मैं बेजार रहूं. हर वक्त जिक्रो फिक्र में तेरे मस्त रहूं, सरशार रहूं. होश रहे ना मुझको किसी का, तेरा मगर होशियार रहूं. अब तो रहे बस तादा में आखिर, विर्दे सुबह है मेरे इला. لا إله إلا الله 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 محمد رسول الله. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. يا رب كريم يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث. يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث. يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث. My beloved Allah, my Rahim Allah, Kareem Allah, most forgiving Allah. We acknowledge every sin, my beloved Allah. We are not justifying any of our sins. Indeed, we are the most sinful servants of yours on the surface of the earth. We have not shown appreciation for your great bounties and great ni'mats. We have used your bounties and your ni'mats for your disobedience. Ya Rabbi Kareem, in this Mubarak month of Ramadan, we sinful servants of yours have extended our begging bowls before you. Open the floodgates of your mercy for us. Open the floodgates of your forgiveness for us. Open the floodgates of your forgiveness and mercy for the ummah of Nabi Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. overlook our shortcomings, our weaknesses, our faults. Overlook the shortcomings, the weaknesses and faults of the Ummat of Nabiya Faq sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ey Rabbi Kareem, don't seize us on account of our sins and our vices and our evils. Forgive our major sins and minor sins, sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly, in the light of day or darkness of night. Sins of our eyes, our ears, our tongues, our hands and feet, our heart and mind. My beloved Allah. ہمارے حال پر رحم فرما، ہمیں صحت دے، عافیت دے، سلامتی دے، عزت والی زندگی دے، bless us with the life of good health, bless us with your قرب, with your محبت, with trust in you, with faith and yaqeen in you. Bless us with the best of dunya, the best of akhirah. Distance us from nafs and shaitan. نفس و شیطان دونوں نے مل کر ہائے کیا ہے مجھ کو تباہ. اے میرے مولا میری مدد کر، چاہتا ہوں میں تیری پناہ. My beloved Allah, those who are sick and ailing, give them shifa. Whether in hospitals, clinics, homes, anywhere they may be, bless them with complete shifa. So many have undergone operations, so many have met up with accidents, so many will be undergoing operations. So many have been shot and injured in the homes of in hospitals and clinics. Ya Rabbi Kareem, those places where disaster has struck, Pakistan and so many other parts of the world. Ya Rabbi Kareem, those who are sick and ailing, those who are suffering, remove their suffering, their pain, their ailments, sicknesses and diseases. Those who are in financial difficulties, bless them with plentiful of halal risk and remove the difficulty. Those who are weak, give them strength. Those who are on journeys, make them reach their destination safely. Rabbi Kareem, bless us with the best of dunya, the best of akhirah. Ek din marna hai akhir maut hai. We have not made any preparation, my Allah, for the hereafter. All our concern is for this worldly life. Bless us with true realization, my Allah, that life is going to come to an end. Don't let the angel of death find us in a disco, cinema, theater, gambling den, popping drugs in our mouth, bottle of wine in our hand. Adultery, fornication, watching some filth on the internet site or the television screens. Ya Rabbi Kareem, when the time of our death comes, take us to Madina Tayyibah. سلامتی دین اور اعضاء کے ساتھ مدینہ شریف میں شہادت کی موت نصیب کرنا. اے رب کریم بقیع میں دفن نصیب کرنا. And if it is not destined there wherever it may be, let it be a day that is of rejoicing for us, the day that you are pleased with us. Give us a موت of برکت, my Allah. Bless us with all the goodness that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked for us. Bless the Ummat with that goodness. And from all the mischief, corruption and fitnas, and especially that of Dajjal that he asked for protection from, protect us and the Ummat of Nabi Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You are well aware of the good wishes, desires, aspirations of each and every individual who has raised his or her hand before you this part of the morning. Fulfill their good wishes, good desires and aspirations. And you are well aware of the difficulties, the hardship, pain and suffering of every individual. With your fazl and kindness, remove the suffering and pain. Huzur Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ke sadqe mein hamari duaon ko qubool farma. Qubool farma. Na qabil qubool hai, phir bhi qubool farma. Ey Rabbi Kareem, we haven't been able to do justice to the fasting in this Mubarak month. Overlook our shortcomings, weaknesses, sins and faults. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Ya ayyuhallazina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله.